Peace has come to you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We all want peace. Peace comes at a great cost. You think of the Revolutionary War, you think of the Civil War, and you think of the great cost. You think of the wars that happened during your lifetime, and you think of the manpower that it took and the cost of life. And yet I could ask you today, do we have peace? Then I want to shift your attention to the manpower and the cost of life that it took for some of these great feats in the world. Think of the great pyramids of Egypt and think of the manpower that it took to make them. Think of the Great Wall of China. The manpower, the cost of life. And did those great feats bring peace? Then think about some other things. How much manpower does it take to get rid of a guilty conscience? How much manpower does it take to separate you from your sin? How much manpower does it take to give you peace? And what you find out is that those things are really beyond manpower. It doesn't matter how much manpower you have, it's not going to get rid of your guilty conscience. It's not going to cut it. And now I want to bring you into the text today. No amount of manpower is going to bring you peace, and yet what does God let you and I wield? He lets us wield this word of God that's more powerful than any amount of manpower in this world, than any amount of cost of life. And here we are. We're just like little kids sitting around the campfire. We've got these pokers, these pie irons. They're way too long for us, and we don't realize the potential that they hold. And then we get this call, this privilege. We hear Jesus say, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. First things first, do you believe that the harvest is plentiful? Because if you don't believe that, well, you're never going to go out and share the word if you don't actually believe the harvest is plentiful. So is the harvest plentiful? I think our sinful nature a lot of times thinks maybe in the time and place in which we live, all I'm doing is stirring up a hornet's nest. People don't want to hear God's word, and if they do, they'll come to church. So why would I spend my time, my precious time, to go and share God's word when in the back of my mind, all I'm doing is stirring up the hornets? Is the harvest plentiful? Well, first off, you got a promise from God that it is. He tells you that it is. When I walk through the hospital, when I walk through University Hospital, and I'm going up the elevator, and I engage in small talk, I typically ask them where they're coming from. And you hear they're coming from all over Michigan, sometimes out of state, sometimes out of the country, sometimes. Imagine if you spent a whole day in the U of M hospital elevators. You think you'd find a harvest? I can all but guarantee you would. Imagine if you spent all day in the U of M gift shop. Hospital gift shop. You think you'd find a harvest there? I can all but guarantee that you would. think you'd find a harvest a couple doors down the street? You think you'd find a harvest at your workplace? Think you'd find a harvest among your own relatives? There's a man on the beach. He was just wanted to go for a stroll on the beach. He's on vacation. He didn't know the area that well. And when he gets down there, he sees, lo and behold, that all these fish have washed up on shore, and they're struggling to breathe. They're dying. And so he starts picking them up and chucking them into the ocean. And then there's someone in a balcony up on the beach shouts down to him, "You know, you're never going to save them all. You know they're just going to keep washing up back on shore. It doesn't matter what you do." So the man looks down for a moment. Then he picks up the next fish and he chucks it as far as he can. And he turns back and he shouts back to the man and he says, "But for this one, it made all the difference in the world." And then he goes on and keeps throwing fishes till he can't anymore. That's sometimes how it is with our sinful nature and with us. Our old man says, "It's not worth it. You're going to throw them back out there and they're just going to wash back up. Nothing you can do. They're just going to die. You might as well just give up. Just have your nice walk on the beach." But the new man sees all these fish dying. And he's going to try it. Even if it's a fool's errand, he's going to do it. Think of Ezekiel. Think of that hard call. Think of God telling you to go do something, and he already tells you it's not going to work. They're not going to listen. But then he says, "I'm going to make you harder than them so that you'll do it anyway." So there we are in life. The harvest is plentiful. What's your attitude towards the harvest? I think this sometimes holds us back. Just the attitude of it. I'll give you three things that maybe you'll connect with one of them. Are you like a kid in a candy shop? The harvest is there. There's so much to choose from. It's not like he's sending you to this one person and you just gotta... No, the sky's the limit. And there's so many beautiful people out there that you could share the gospel with. And this word of God tastes sweet in your mouth, and to share that sweet gospel with somebody else. Is that your perspective? Or maybe you're like the bridegroom or the bride, and you're waiting for that day. There's this anticipation. There's this excitement. You cannot wait for that day. Is that how you feel about sharing your faith and sharing this gospel? Everything's set. Everything's ready to go. Everything's ready to take someone with you. To take someone who doesn't know that gospel and to marry them to Christ, to their Savior. You can have that kind of energy, that kind of excitement. Lastly, the picture that's in the text for you farmers, can you imagine a field? A field that's ripe, it's ready to go. We'll think of wheat. But there's not enough people to harvest it. It's not, "Hey, this is my field. How dare you take a piece of it?" This is God's field. There's nowhere near enough of us to harvest it. Would you please come and help? And I know that if you're an older generation, one thing you cannot stand is watching things go to waste. I don't know which one of those pictures connects with you, the candy store, the bride, or that field that's just ripe for the picking. And you just can't stand to let it go to waste. And you hear the Savior calling. I need more workers. Beg God, beg the Lord of the harvest to send more workers out into the field. You don't have to wait for more pastors, more elders. You can do it too. But sometimes there's things that hold us back. Sometimes, like I said, it's just the attitude we have, but there's other things too, and we'll go through a couple. Jesus says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Jesus knows what it's like, and yet he sends us out anyways, just like he sent Ezekiel to a bunch of stubborn, obstinate people. Those people were at least supposed to be believers, but he sends us out to unbelievers. Lambs among wolves. Do you want to go out as a lamb? You see, that mental picture we had before of children sitting around a fire with our hot burning sticks is a little bit worse. We're lambs sitting around the fire. We're even more helpless and vulnerable than we thought. And so there we are, huddled around the fire, and we're comfortable, and we have a little bit of security in numbers. And then as we glance over our shoulders and we look into the darkness, there we see all the gleaming eyes of the wolves. Are we really going to go out among them? Sometimes I wish you could come with me to visit the shut-ins, because I think they're a lot of times our most valiant members. There's one, and her staff comes in the morning, and the staff's getting her ready in the morning, and there she is reading her Bible and praying out loud. And it gets to the point where she tries to engage staff in God's word, and the staff says, oh, you know I don't believe in that. And then the shut-in replies in a shocked tone, what? You don't believe in God? No, I don't. And the shut-in replies, I'm going to pray for you. Not taking no for an answer. I'm going to pray for you. Does the shut-in not realize how vulnerable she is? She could get taken advantage of mentally, physically, monetarily, and on the list goes. Does she not realize how much independence she's lost? She's got to get dressed in the morning. She's got to use a walker. She can't remember things. Does she not realize how vulnerable she is? Or does she not care? Because God has convinced her of that last line in the text that her name is written in the book of life. She can go out as a lamb among wolves because she knows of the lamb who died at the hand of wolves to give her life. So that when she goes out, when she looks out into the darkness, she doesn't have to be afraid. And instead of seeing wolves, she sees a harvest. So don't let that hold you back. Don't let the wolves scare you. Well, what else holds us back? Sometimes it's the provisions. We live in this country of America, and so really the provisions I don't think hold us back. I think the provisions hold us back because either we've seen this provision that God can bless people with, and so then we want to go after it more and get to another level of provision, or we've got so many provisions that we spend all our time keeping, holding on to the provision. And when we look what else we could use our time with, and we see that we could spend our time going out as lambs among wolves, it's pretty easy for an old man, our sinful nature, to just keep us busy chasing after provisions or chasing after holding on to our provision when we see that that's what it's going to be like. And so Jesus sends these 72 out with these marching orders. And again, we don't have to say it's apples to apples, but look at what he said. He says, you don't have to worry about this. You don't have to worry about this. You don't have to worry about that. God's going to provide for you. And if you get to a place and they reject you, you move on to somewhere else. And don't worry. God's going to provide for you. And so you look into your own life and you look into the provisions that God has given you. And then you ask yourself, am I using all my time on the things and stuff of this world when there's a whole beach full of fish floundering for breath? So don't let the provisions hold you back. So there you are, you're around the campfire, and I don't know what you got on it. I don't know what you got on your gospel stick, if you got a hot dog, if you got a marshmallow, if you got a pudgy pie in that pie iron. I don't know what you got. But there you are roasting it, and you look over your shoulder, and then lo and behold, there's a wolf. But you see that this wolf is caught. And so there you go over with your hot iron, not realizing what it's capable of. And there you slow talk that wolf. There you get to know that wolf. What's his story? It's hard to think of the 4th of July without thinking of veterans. So you find out that he's a veteran, that he served in the Vietnam War. And you find that as much as he looks like a wolf, he's broken inside. He finally gets to the point where he's vulnerable enough to tell you what happened. There he was, he went to bed at base like any other night, only to wake up and find out that his buddy's throat had been slit by the Vietnamese barber. And there he's left with those questions of life. Why not me? Why him? He leaves that war with survivor's guilt. He leaves that war with PTSD. Every night, afraid to go to bed. Maybe he'll be the next one. And so there you are. Getting to know this wolf, slow talking this wolf. And then there is the opportunity, that gospel at the end of your burning stick. And he eats it up, and you watch as a wolf turns into a lamb. You take his fear and you replace it with peace. You return. You replace his slavery with independence. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. I don't think we realize, or we take it for granted, what we wield, the Word of God in us and through us, that God would give you and me the privilege to wield it in the first place, weak, vulnerable lambs. And it gets us to that phrase, when the 72 come back, we have an experience like that veteran. And we come gushing to God and saying, look what happened with my little stick. Expecting that Jesus would be surprised. And he breaks it to us a little slow and he says, I was watching as Satan was falling like lightning. I I saw what was happening when you were going out with your stick. You guys don't get to see behind the scenes like I do. But don't rejoice that even the demons would submit to you in my name. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You see, that's the thing that motivates us through all of this, the thing that motivates our new man to do what might be a fool's errand, to motivate us to not focus on our provisions, but to focus on those who are lost, to go out like lambs among wolves, to go out even if we cannot see what the Word of God is working in other people's hearts. You see, in God's harvest, in His field, you never know when something's going to come ripe. Sometimes it's all of a sudden. Sometimes it's 20 years later. Sometimes it's on the deathbed. Don't give up being part of the workforce, being part of the reapers. There's nothing more blessed. There's nothing more life-giving. There's nothing more that is eternal. You get to be a part of something that no man power could accomplish, but the Word of God can, through a little lamb. Amen.